I watched as the woman held out her hand in greeting. The younger woman softened and relaxed a little and gave a small smile. She didn't take her hand but stood up. The other woman drew back her outstretched hand. The angel with the woman told me they hadn't spoken for a long time, but she had felt the love she had always had for the young woman when she saw her there and had listened to the angel and overcome her fear of rejection. They stood chatting for a few minutes, and I could see the love between them being rekindled. It was as if the barriers between them were melting away. As the woman walked away, she turned back and the young woman looked at her and waved. I think the woman was in shock as she walked out of the cafe. I asked the angel with her silently if they would be all right, if they would meet again, and I was told yes, that this was just the beginning. I'm not saying it's easy. In fact, letting love conquer hate is one of the hardest things we are asked to do in this life. We can feel so hurt and vulnerable ourselves and can feel that if we weaken and don't strike back then we are giving in to another and letting ourselves down. The person who allows love to conquer hate is not weak. He or she is very strong and is a beacon of help for all of us. It is easy to let the other side in and to strike back. It is much harder to stop and resist seeking revenge. We need to start by doing it in small things, holding back the hurtful remark, not repeating gossip, not taking pleasure in another's misfortune. In learning to hold back on the little things, we get stronger, and this will make us much more able to resist actions that will lead to hate and hurt. Ask your guardian angel to help you. It will whisper in your ear and remind you not to strike back when you are tempted. It still won't be easy. You might have to bite your tongue. I know that I find it hard, and my guardian angel has to keep reminding me. You are much stronger than you might think. The power of the love that is within you is enormous. When you don't listen to your guardian angel, you will feel guilt. Your guardian angel wants you to be happy, and it knows you will be happier within yourself if you learn to conquer hate, so it will do everything possible to teach you. Your guardian angel will keep nagging at you not to give in to hate and will help you to learn new and kinder ways of being. This is a continuous process, and love is called upon to conquer hate time and time again, sometimes between the same people. I know a family with lots of children, and two of the boys are constantly at loggerheads with each other. These teenagers left school early and have no work because of the difficult economic situation. They are living at home and feeling inadequate and useless. They are constantly running each other down in the nastiest way, and arguments frequently break out between them. Sometimes the arguments are verbal, and sometimes they beat each other up. Last week, they had a terrible argument, and one of the boys ran away. His mother and sisters went looking for him. They were desperately worried about where he might be and about what he might do, in his pain and desperation, to himself or others. They were so concerned that they got the local police involved. At 4 o'clock in the morning, after many hours of searching frantically, they found him and brought him home. His brother was so relieved to see him. He had been terrified of what might happen as a result of their argument, terrified that he might actually lose his brother. They made their peace. Love conquered hate for a while. I know these boys will fight again, but I pray that the example of the love their sisters and mother showed them in searching for him for so long will help to grow the love that is between all of them. All I can do is keep praying that the boys will find work and will lose some of their frustrations. I know they are good boys, and the angels tell me that they are both trying not to let the hate in, not to give in to the frustration that they are feeling. The person who allows love to conquer hate is not weak. He or she is very strong and is a beacon of hope for all of us. Angels help to ensure that where possible, love conquers hate. They provide opportunities, but lots of the time we pass them by. The woman I told you about in Billy's cafe seized the chance she was offered. The angels need our help at times, though. We are all sometimes called upon to be peacemakers, and it is important that we take these opportunities, remembering that we are called upon to make peace, not to take sides. This is not an easy job. It's not easy to stay detached and loving when you are standing between two sides that are full of anger and hate for each other. I remember, many years ago, watching the angels and a peacemaker at work. Joe and I were with the children, who were still very young, on Dublin's Meath Street. It's a busy street with market stalls selling fruit and vegetables and all kinds of things. We had just come out of the old department store, Frawley's, and were standing looking at the window display when the shouting and roaring began. There were two women, one of them a street seller, just up the way roaring at each other. I was quite shocked at the language they were using in front of children, and it looked as if they might even come to blows. Everyone stopped to look. I could see angels surrounding them and going between them, trying to keep the peace. From nowhere, a third woman appeared. She seemed to know the two women and stood in between them. They kept swearing and cursing, but over time they quieted down. I have no idea what the woman said, but she was a peacemaker brought in by the angels to help. Angels encircled them all. A few minutes later, the woman left with one of the women who was fighting. Love had again overcome hate, this time thanks to the intervention of a peacemaker. Chapter 14, Angels Dry Our Tears. A few years ago, I was visiting a friend in the hospital. I went to the bathroom and, as I walked back into the ward, my guardian angel told me to look at the bed on my right. There was an elderly man asleep in the bed. His guardian angel had opened up, and he was tenderly holding on to the elderly man's soul. The guardian angel, who gave a male appearance, was standing at the head of the bed, and his hands seemed to be reaching ever so slightly into the elderly man's body and lifting the man's soul a little out of his body. The elderly man's soul was glowing brightly. The guardian angel told me without words that he only had a short time to live. Standing by the bed, looking at the elderly man with a look of such sadness on his face, was a young man of about 25. I believe it was his grandson. I sat down by my friend's bed, which was across the room. I glanced over at the young man as often as I could without drawing attention to myself, and I prayed for help for him. He just stood there, never moving. On one occasion when I glanced across, the light of the young man's guardian angel opened up. The guardian angel was enormous but didn't give an appearance of being male or female. The angel's robes were a very light gold and green color. The angel embraced the young man with such tenderness and love, trying to console him in his grief. At one point, I walked to the water cooler to get a glass of water for my friend. The young man still stood there, unmoving, looking at his grandfather asleep in the bed. I could see the elderly man's guardian angel was still holding on to his soul. As I walked past, I saw the young man's guardian angel raise its right hand in front of his heart. A light started to radiate from the angel's hand to the man's chest. As the angel rotated its hand slowly, it turned its head and spoke to me without words. "Lorna, I am putting some light into the emptiness that this young man is feeling in his heart. I am trying to help with the grieving for his grandfather." There were two other angels on either side of the young man, and they were holding on to him and looking down at him. They were tall and elegant and gave a female appearance. These angels were dressed in a watery blue color with a touch of silver, and I could faintly see the movement of wings. I thanked his guardian angel for allowing the other angels to be around the man, to help him in his time of need. I never saw the young man leave. All I know is that later on, when I looked up, he was gone. When you are with someone you love and you know that their time is short, look at them a bit more closely and be confident in knowing that their guardian angel is holding on to them, taking care of them, and will bring them safely home to heaven. Grieving is something that few of us will escape. It's a part of love and it really hurts. Our guardian angels try and make it easier for us. I loved my mother-in-law very much. This may sound strange, but I never called her by a name. Her name was Liz, but I never recall calling her anything to her face. I used to refer to her as Joe's mum. We used to see her once a month or so, and the children, she died before Megan was born, loved her. I was in the kitchen preparing dinner on my own one evening when the angel hostess tapped on the kitchen door. We sat down at the table to talk. "Lorna, you are going to start to grieve," hostess said. I looked at him in shock, saying, "Who for?" He quietly replied, "Joe's mother." "But she's doing okay," I protested in shock. Hosus looked at me with love. "God will be taking her soon, Lorna." I felt so sad as Angel Hosus said these words. He reached out and took my hand. "Don't be sad, Lorna. You know it's only her body that dies. Her soul lives, and she will be going back home to heaven, and you will see her again one day. You are going to start to grieve for her as soon as I leave, Lorna." When Hosus left, I sat at the table and I cried and cried. She had been such a caring and loving woman and had always accepted me in a way many other people didn't. She was so supportive when Joe and I got engaged and really welcomed me into her family. I never told anyone how upset I was, though not Joe, not anyone. I cried a lot, but never in front of anyone. I told no one I was grieving. How could I tell anyone what Hosus had told me? Each time I was with her, I smiled and showed her all the love I could, but deep down I was wondering whether this was the last time I would see her. I knew there was something more to this grieving. I loved my mother-in-law, but she was elderly and wasn't a major part of my life. I didn't see her every week, so I couldn't understand why I was feeling the pain of grief so strongly, and why I was feeling it before she was even sick. I would learn later from the angels why this was happening. Joe's mother's health deteriorated as Hosus had told me it would, and about a month after I had started the grieving process, she was admitted to hospital. She was there about 6 weeks before she died. On one of her first days in the hospital, I arrived with Joe to visit her. As I walked into the ward, I could see her guardian angel right behind her, taking hold of her soul, lifting it gently forward with great love. It was only fractionally forward in her body, but I could see the magnificent light of her soul. Her guardian angel's wings were partially open and curved protectively around her. Each time I visited after this, her guardian angel had lifted her soul further forward out of her body. On her last day, she was moved into a different ward. As I walked in, I could see that her soul was completely out of her body with her guardian angel behind her, holding it. When someone is dying, their guardian angel does not let go of their soul for an instant. Whenever I see a guardian angel who is about to accompany a soul to heaven, the physical appearance of the angel changes. Joe's mum's guardian angel gave less of a human appearance and appeared to be less solid, less dense. It was as if it had taken its clothes off in order to leave them here on earth, in order to be pure for going to heaven. While its human features were less distinctive, I could see and feel the compassion and love that the angel had for Joe's mother as it was preparing to bring her soul back home. This is one of the most joyous times for any guardian angel bringing a soul safely back to heaven, and I could feel an incredible joy radiating from Joe's mother's guardian angel. Joe's mum's guardian angel was so beautiful, but her soul was much, much more beautiful. There was such a light radiating from it, and I was allowed for a moment to see a human appearance within the soul. She was facing her guardian angel and then turned around and looked directly at me. She looked much younger than she had been when I first met her. She was like she would have been as a 20-year-old, but much more radiant. Her breathing had become very labored, but her guardian angel told me she was past all pain. I sat there by her bedside, holding her hand, with Joe and Joe's uncle beside me. I had no idea how long it would be until she went to heaven, but I knew it wouldn't be long. After about an hour, I leaned over her and whispered in her ear that I loved her. As I said this, I heard her soul communicating to me without words. She told me to take Joe away so that he wouldn't be there when she died. I did as she asked and suggested to Joe that we go and have something to eat, leaving his uncle by the hospital bed. We came back an hour or so later. As we walked through the hospital toward her ward, the place was thronged with angels, and I knew she had gone to heaven. Joe was devastated by his mother's death. He loved her a lot. His dad had died when he was only 14, so for much of life, he had only had his mother. After Joe's mother died, I found I wasn't grieving nearly as hard as I had beforehand. I wondered about this. Months later, Angel Hosus explained this to me a little. He told me that they were helping me to grieve so that the grieving for Joe would be a little less intense. I did, of course, know that Joe would die young, Angel Elijah had told me so all those years ago. And he did suffer constantly from ill health, but I had no idea of when he would be called to heaven. Angel Hosus told me that God and the angels were helping to prepare me by allowing me to feel intense and deep grief and know at the same time that I would survive. This gave me the courage and confidence to know that I would eventually get through it. When Joe died some years later, the grief I felt was overwhelming. As I say, the angels had told me that the grief with Joe's mum's death had been partly to prepare me, but, to be honest, I am not sure anyone can be prepared for the death of a loved one. They had also told me that the grieving for my mother-in-law lessened the grief I felt after Joe's death. But to be honest, my grief felt so devastating that I have no idea how it could have been more. I did get through it, though. The angels never allowed me to give up. They gave me the strength to help me, in time, to move on. But it did take time, and it was very painful. For years after Joe's death I would feel tremendous pain, particularly around family events like birthdays or confirmations. Now, more than 10 years on, I don't grieve anymore, but I do miss him. As I have been writing this, I have asked why I felt the grief before Joe's mum died, rather than afterward, and why I needed to feel it so intensely some 6 years before Joe died. The angels haven't given me an answer, though. We grieve for the loss of someone we love because they are not with us here physically. In our pain and despair, we need to hold on to the certainty that our loved one had a soul that lives forever and has gone to heaven and that we will meet them again someday. Angels help us to get through our grief, to continue to live our lives even after the loss of someone who was very precious to us. Long before I started to write, a woman called Maura who used to come and see me told me a lovely story of how the angels had comforted her one Christmas after her husband had died. Christmas can be a sad time for people who have lost someone they love. This Christmas, Maura was at her kitchen sink, washing dishes and remembering the good times when her husband and her children were all together, the birthdays, christenings, but particularly the Christmases. Her children were all grown up now, but were still very close to her. She had a wonderful family, but that didn't fill the loneliness of missing the man she had loved dearly. She was feeling so sad and so alone, and there were tears in her eyes as she begged, "Just give me a sign. Show me that you really are there, that you haven't gone away completely." She followed some instinct and just left the dishes in the sink and walked across the kitchen and out into the garden. The weather was cold and changeable, and she stood there in the cold looking around her, wondering to herself whether her husband could really be in heaven, whether he could still be with her in spirit. She looked at trees and plants that had grown since he had died, and then, out of nowhere it seemed to her, it started to snow. Maura laughed and, feeling her husband's presence in some way, she spoke to him aloud. "So you have me out in the garden, and now it's starting to snow, I'm freezing and it's snowing." The snowflakes kept falling and then, for no reason she could explain, one falling snowflake attracted her. It was no different from any of the other snowflakes that were falling around her, but she had a very strong urge to catch that particular snowflake. She reached out, and the snowflake landed on her hand. She looked at it in amazement. The snowflake wasn't melting. As she looked more closely, she realized that it wasn't a snowflake. It was a feather, a tiny feather no bigger than a snowflake. There were no birds around. There was nowhere it could have come from. As she touched the feather, tears came into her eyes and she said a heartfelt thank you. She thanked God and the angels and she thanked her much-loved husband. We need to hold on to the certainty that our loved one had a soul that lives forever and has gone to heaven, and that we will meet them again someday. Receiving this little feather filled Maura's heart with joy. She knew it was a sign that her husband was happy in heaven, but that he was still with her whenever she needed him. It gave her the hope and strength to face the future, to know that she wasn't alone. Maura always had faith, But this feather rekindled her faith and her belief that her husband's soul was in heaven, that she would see him again one day. She held that little feather tightly in her hand as she walked back into the house to look for something small and special to put her precious feather in, so that she could keep it safe and look at it, and know that her husband was there with her in spirit and that God and his angels were there with her also. I see angels surrounding and comforting people who are feeling grief. But, often, we are so grief-stricken and desolate that we don't feel this consolation. Try and remind yourself that these angels are there with you. Angels will give us signs of encouragement, particularly at this time, and often they work through others who come to console us or to offer words of support. Maura was given this sign from God and the angels to help give her the courage to go on. To rekindle her belief that her husband's soul lives forever, a belief that had nearly been extinguished by the pain of her grief. Chapter 15, I have been shown wonderful things. The angel Michael has shown me a future where everyone sees angels physically, as I do. Where everyone can talk with them, as I do. Where our guardian angels are our best friends and we listen and follow their advice. I have always said that I don't know why I have been allowed to see angels physically and you or others haven't. I am an ordinary person and I have always believed that if I can see angels, then everyone else can. As I talk more about what I see, I am starting to understand that one of the reasons I have been allowed to see angels is to help to share with you what our future could be like, to help you to understand how our lives could be if we could all see and talk with angels. I have no idea how long it will take for us to evolve so that everyone will be able to see and talk with angels, when this will happen, or how many generations it will take. I am very encouraged, though, by the signs I am being shown of people, particularly young people, becoming more aware, and I know that the pace of this development is speeding up. I know it will be an evolutionary process, that some people will become more aware first and will be able to see angels while others still can't. If we as humans make the right decisions, we will all eventually be able to see our guardian angels physically. Many young people, while they are not seeing angels physically as I do, seem to me to be responding much more to what their guardian angel is telling them. This is not just because young people have always been more open than adults. I know the young people of today are more open than my generation were. I see it in their behavior every day. Yesterday, I was standing outside the supermarket, and a group of teenagers walked past. The light of the guardian angel with one of the girls opened up briefly, showing me a female appearance. It stooped over the young girl it was guiding and seemed to have its two hands on her shoulder. It whispered briefly to the girl, and then the light of the guardian angel closed. Instantly, the girl went over and took a bag from one of the other teenagers. The angels with her confirmed that the guardian angel had asked her to help her friend, and she had heard and responded instantly. I know it's a very simple example, but when you listen to angels all the time, it is in fact very simple. Recently, I was walking through a park that was full of flowers and shrubs with big blossoms. As I walked along one of the paths, an angel whispered to me to look ahead. There were a lot of people around. The angel whispered to me again, telling me to look at a young boy of about 8. I watched with fascination as the boy played with the energy of the blossom of the flower. He was touching the energy from the blossom and sticking his fingers into it and stirring it around with his finger. He laughed, feeling the tingling sensation of the energy on his finger. I could see that he was spellbound but had no idea what he was seeing. He was seeing the energy that I have seen around all living things since I was a baby. We all have the potential to become more spiritually aware and more open. This potential is a gift that God has given us, but many people become fearful. It takes courage to acknowledge that God exists, that you have a soul and a guardian angel who is the gatekeeper of that soul. I know from personal experience that it takes courage. Until my mid-50s I was very reluctant to talk about what I see and hear, and hardly talked about it at all. I was afraid I would be ridiculed and laughed at, that people would say I was crazy. I always say that I didn't choose the time to start talking about what I see, but that God did. God chose this time because He wants us to speed up our spiritual evolution, and He chose this time of change and challenge in the world. A lot of different things help to open us up spiritually, to become more spiritually aware. I have talked about many of them in this book. Prayer does it. So does becoming more aware of God's presence, acknowledging that we are more than just flesh and blood, that we have a soul as well. Believing in angels, and asking for their help, makes us more receptive or sensitive to God's message and helps us to get closer to God. So does becoming more conscious and appreciative of the ordinary things of life, spending more time in nature, silence, or meditation. In getting closer to God, we open up spiritually. God wants and helps us to become more spiritually aware. This is a part of His plan for the evolution of humanity. As we become more spiritually aware, we become more compassionate, more given to seeing the good in others, and this makes us gentler and kinder. What some people call intuition becomes stronger as people listen more to God and the angels and learn to respond to what they are told. We start to see more energy around people and living things, and to see more of the beauty in life. As we become more spiritually aware, we become better and more fulfilled people. I pray every day and ask that people all over the world, of all religions, will grow more spiritually aware and be less afraid. A few years ago, an 11-year-old called Susie asked me about the energy she was seeing. I was able to help her to understand more of what she was seeing and what to look out for in the future. I met her again recently, and there were three angels around her. I had to smile as one of the angels was dressed in the same style of clothes that teenage boys wear, although the color scheme was rather different, silvers and grays and navy. I talked with Susie as the angel who was dressed like a teenage boy kept saying, "She has something more to tell you. You'll have to have patience." We had been talking for about 10 minutes when Susie finally said what was on her mind. "I let God and the angels down," she said. The angels with her shook their heads. Susie explained that she had been out with two of her friends and they had talked about the strange mist that was coming from the hedging. They were talking about how weird it was. Susie wanted to explain that they were seeing energy and that she could see energy too, but she was afraid they would laugh at her. She was very disappointed at herself for not having the courage to explain to them what they were seeing. I smiled at her. "You didn't let God and the angels down. Your friends will see it again and you will have another opportunity to explain it to them. I know that the next time this happens, she will have the courage to talk to her friends about what she sees. Fear is one of the things that stops us from evolving spiritually. Other things that stop us doing so include placing too much emphasis on material things, and acting as if money and things are all there is to life. Getting caught up in day-to-day activities, doing too much and believing we have no time is another way. If we don't allow peace and quiet into our lives, at least occasionally, it is very hard to hear God and His angels. Listening to the other side even in small petty things, like making a nasty remark or being selfish, hinders your spiritual development. Satan, or whatever you call the other side in your religion, certainly doesn't want us to evolve spiritually, and we strengthen his hand when we listen to him rather than to God or the angels. Everyone needs to play their part. We all have a part to play in the spiritual evolution of humanity. Everyone must help and encourage others to play their part as well. This is why praying for our leaders is so important, and something we must all be aware of. Sitting at the kitchen table, wondering what to write in this final chapter, the angel Michael took my hand and showed me a vision. I was on a hill overlooking a wide area of countryside. Below me there were thousands of people, men, women, and children of all ages in a big circle. From their appearance and clothes I could tell they were of different nationalities and different religions. The place was full of angels, and watching them, it was clear to me that the people could see and talk with the angels that were there with them. In addition to guardian angels and other angels, the many angels of prayer streaming up into the sky to heaven. The people were at prayer. They were praying aloud, and it was as if different languages were being used, but yet it was all part of one big prayer. I could hear the hum of their prayer. In the center, surrounded by angels, was the person who was leading the prayer.